Amen. Glory. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a day a-coming. I hope you believe in heaven. I do. Not ashamed to say it. And it kind of should make us want to put our head down, work a little harder down here, and know that there's a brighter day coming where there's no more night. He said to wipe all tears from our eyes. No more sea, no more separation. Wonderful city, streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearls. An amazing place. That's a great. I wanted to preach out of Titus 2 this morning, but the Lord laid something else on my heart. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Again, I always appreciate the opportunity to preach, and it's not something we take lightly. But be in prayer again for Pastor. He'll be back with us tonight. And I pray that God gives him strength and safety traveling back and forth. He's in the state, so he's not too far away, but just to keep him in your prayers this afternoon. A couple of weeks ago, I preached out of Galatians chapter number 6, but it was the first part of the chapter, and it wasn't what we're preaching tonight. Today, I say that because I know there are some of you that take out a pen and you write down everything that... And you put a note in your Bible, and I've had people come up to me and, you know, say that before. So we're not in the same place. We're going to go down a little bit, and we're going to look at three verses this morning with the Lord's help. In Galatians chapter 6, and begin in verse number 7, the Bible says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Dear Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the beautiful weather, a reminder of your creation and your wonder. And the Lord, I pray that you would help us today, bless the service. Lord, please take the word of God and apply it to hearts as it needs to be applied. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Galatians, about a book about the flesh, really, versus the spirit. That's about the easiest way to summarize it. There were a group of people that were trying to preach and teach that you could somehow generate or earn spirituality through the works of the flesh. And of course, that's not the way it works. God, when you get saved, God moves in. The Holy Spirit moves in, and His Spirit regenerates our spirit, and He then can empower us to overcome the flesh. But we don't become spiritual just by doing certain things. We don't earn our salvation that way, and we don't please our Heavenly Father simply by the action of doing them. God empowers us from within to do the right things and to do the same things. And so in that vein, this is very consistent. He said right there in verse number 8, he talked about he that sows to the flesh reaps what? The flesh. And he that sows to the Spirit reaps what? The Spirit. And so here he gives us, and we're going to stay pretty close to these three verses this morning. We'll look at a couple of other passages perhaps as we go, but in these three verses, God brings up the issue of sowing and reaping. He brings up this issue. Good time of year to think about that. A lot of you have gardens. I was just actually talking to somebody right before the service. I won't say their name. I'll take the burden of this, because we were both in agreement that we're not, both of us, we're not exactly green thumbs. I don't know what it is. There are some people. Pastor Townsley's one of those kind of people. He can take things, and he can take dirt, and he can plant something in it, and it always grows. I understand the principle. I can put it in the dirt, but it doesn't always grow. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the way I smell, or what it has to do with, but it doesn't always work out exactly well for me when I go and plant things. But some people do, and we're in that a time of year where a lot of things are being planted. It's kind of nice this time of year, isn't it? Because You could go, of course, we're a colder weather climate. You can go to the grocery store, you can go to the markets, and you can get some kind of fresh stuff now that's coming in from other parts of the country. And, you know, corn on the cob tastes good, really good right now. And so you know, there's a lot of imagery, of course, from this time of year that we see right here in this passage. And God brings up this idea of sowing and reaping. So I want to just take a look at each of these verses this morning. First of all, I want you to notice what he lists here as an unbreakable principle. There's an unbreakable principle, an unchangeable truth. I paused for just a minute when I read it, hopefully to let it sink in, but I'll read it again, and this time let it sink in. He says in verse number 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." That principle there goes beyond just this principle, but we need to kind of understand that in our day in which we live. You know, people can decide to live however they want to live. God will give them the ability and the will to do that, but they should not be deceived. God is not mocked. Someone's temporary allowance of a certain thing, even though the Scripture condemns it and the Scripture says it is wrong, does not mean that somehow God has decided to allow it, or it certainly does not mean that they have somehow fooled God. Be not deceived. God will never be mocked. Deceived here means to cause to roam from safety, to cause to roam from truth or virtue. In a world where absolutes are continually challenged, an absolute is presented, and it is this: God is not mocked. Just like this morning, we got up, and the sun appeared out of the eastern sky. And at some point this evening, the sun will disappear in the western sky. And we can go to bed tonight with a certainty and an assurance that the same thing will happen tomorrow. Why? Because it's happened over and over and over again. Why? Because that's the way God set it up to happen. There are certain even spiritual truths that we need to understand in a world that just defies absolutes. I read something this week. There was someone, I won't get into too much detail, but it was a scientist, I think probably a PhD level. They wrote a theory type paper that was trying to challenge Newton's laws that he discovered, all on the basis of culture. Now, we, you know, these absolutes aren't good because they teach absolutes and other. Wait a second. You can write all the papers you want on these things, and you can. God set this earth up to run a certain way, and God established things to be in a certain order, whether in physical science or even amongst humanity and amongst His creatures. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3. God said these things should be this way, and He says here, reminds us, I am not mocked when it comes to these things. No matter how much someone would like to do it, they can write a paper all they want. You know what's going to happen in the morning? The sun's going to appear in the east, and the sun's going to disappear in the west. No matter what, and we could go down the list of things, and I'm using that as an example, but you could make a bullet point. We could pull the screen down and put up a whole list of things that are absolutes in Scripture that God says these things will absolutely happen, that it is absolutely this way, and there's a whole, you know, culture around us that is trying to mock God in some way. He says, listen, don't be deceived. How I said it is how it's going to happen. What I said will come to pass. The ramifications of this will take place. This is damaging. This is not healthy. This is not right. This is sin. We shouldn't be deceived. God hasn't changed His mind. Many a person has allowed themselves to be deceived by convincing themselves that they can somehow stray from the safety of God's will and escape unscathed. There's many a lost person. They flee from the safety of trusting Christ the Savior. And they do so by convincing themselves that I'm just fine. I will be okay. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know, there's never been one person. The song was about heaven. Heaven, I like heaven. I mean, it encourages me. I like thinking about it. I like looking forward to it. I like reading about it. I like hearing songs about it. It encourages in me, and it keeps me uplifted. But you know what? There's never been one person that has made it into heaven in any other way other than how God said you get there. He says, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You might say, in a crowd this large, there might be someone here that would say, you know what, I have figured out another way. I remember speaking to many years ago now, I was at part of a university, a campus ministry, and we were there, it was at the University of Tennessee, secular, you know, college, liberal arts college. We're there, thousands of students, and we were there, and I ran into this young man. He was 19 years old. Gave him a gospel tract, tried to witness to him. I think he may have even allowed me to give him the gospel at some point. He listened and then said, you know, I don't really think that that's right. He said, I think that this is, you know, that if you do this, you know, you'll be okay. And I think this, and I think, he kept, you know, the emphasis was, I think, and the reason I remember his age is because I asked him, and he was 19 years old. I'm saying, and I remember I was a little older than he was at the time, and I looked at him and I thought, you mean you think in 19 years you have somehow figured out the truths of all of eternity? I mean, you can barely tie your shoes. You know, your mom has to clean up your laundry when you go home for the summer, but you have figured out the truths of eternity in 19 years. And it wasn't like he was referencing even some other philosopher. You know, it wasn't that he was saying, you know, the Buddha says this, or that, you know, I believe, you know, Hinduism teaches this. He wasn't referencing that. It was all a hodgepodge of things that he thought. And he thought that, you know, I've got it all figured out, that everything will be okay. And you know, that's it's amusing in a sense. It's almost kind of cute in a way. Oh, look at that young fella. He thinks he's got it all figured out. But the reality is it's tragic because God is not mocked. There's never been one person that will ever stand before God and tell them what they think, and it be contrary to his word, and him go, well, you were deceived and so sincere. Okay, we'll overlook that. That's not how it happens. God is not mocked. Now, the good thing is God also does not hide himself from us. You know, God tells us what he expects. God doesn't, you know, you ever see the shell game, you know, maybe when you were a kid, you tried to play that with your siblings and cups, and you have the ball there and you move it all around, usually three of them, and you go, okay, try to guess which one. It's really fun playing with little kids because I can always get it right. But, you know, you play that game and you're trying to figure it out, and a real good person with sleight of hand, I mean, they're hard to follow and you can't really figure it out. A lot of times people view God that way, but that's not how God is at all. God doesn't hide from us that which he expects from us. The person that is deceiving themselves that I have it all figured out, that I think that I, you know, I have it all figured out in my 19 years or 50 years or 60 years or 80 years, but you know, it's not that God hasn't made it clear what they're supposed to do. He said as plainly as can be when the Philippian jailer called out, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Plain and simple. Jesus, when he sat down with a man who was trying to confuse the thing, Nicodemus, who had much learning and who maybe if anybody could have claimed to figure it out, he might have had more of a claim certainly than the 19-year-old. And Jesus sat down with him and said, here is how simple it is, Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As a matter of fact, he made it so simple that he said that he likened it to the faith of a child. He didn't say you have to have the faith of a PhD student from Yale. He said you need the faith, PhD student from Yale, you need to have the faith of a child. That's what you need. You see, God makes it clear what he expects of us. He makes it clear that the way that we are to go. The backslidden rebel, deceives himself by fleeing from the safety of God's will. Young person, listen to me. Teenager, listen to me. You can try to figure things out in life, or you can do it God's way. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. So he points out a principle here. There are certain things that God ordained to be so, and nothing can escape it. And the simple principle here that God reminds us of here is the principle of sowing and reaping. It's a timeless truth that cannot be broken. I want to read to you. We don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. Genesis chapter number 1, all the way back. You don't have to be a great Bible scholar to know we're at the beginning of the Bible now. In Genesis chapter number 1, verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. "And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." You know what? From the very beginning of creation, and the Bible tells us that we've had a flood and all since then, but from the very beginning of creation, God set out this principle. Just like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west, he said, here is how it works. The seed from a certain plant is going to bear fruit just like the plant that it came from. Pastor Townsley, I already mentioned, the master gardener, get all your gardening tips from him tonight. Don't ask me when you go home. I know a few things, though, but I had a lesson reemphasized to me this week. He was walking around looking at the flowers, and he goes and he looks at something, and he kind of looked at the leaves. He goes, "I can't tell if that's a flower or a weed." He looked at it again. He goes, "I think that's a weed." Yanks it up out of the ground, out of the root, and he made a profound statement. He said, "All that'll do is spread more weed seed." And he took it and threw it in the woods. What was he saying? If I let this weed grow and the seeds fall out of the weed, it's not going to produce beautiful roses. If I let the seed from this weed spread, it's going to be something that corrupts the rest of the garden, of the flower bed, of the flower area. And you know, that's nothing, I'm joking around, it's nothing really profound. We understand that. Why? Because that's how it always works. You reap what you sow. Sometimes if you're in corn country, I mean, where they have eastern North Carolina, a lot of corn, they do grow a lot of corn. Out in Midwest, of course, a lot of corn. Sometimes you'll drive along, it's kind of interesting to see, drive along a big cornfield, there'll be a big drainage ditch between the road and the cornfield, and every now and then you'll see this nice-looking corn stalk. The cornfield's over here, but then there's this nice-looking corn stalk growing right in the middle of the drainage ditch, totally out of place. Say, how did that happen? Well, you know how it happened. A kernel of corn somehow fell in the ditch, right? And it produced it. Nobody ever drives by that and thinks, boy, a weed must have produced that corn. See, we know that this is, I'm pointing this out because it's such a, what we would call a natural occurrence, that even if we're not great gardeners like myself, or even if we are great gardeners, these are such basic principles, and it's so basic because God created it to be that way, that you reap what you sow all the time, every time, and without exception. Now, I know today, they have a lot of these, you know, genetically modified things, but you know, still at the end of the day, you know what they get out of a kernel of corn? They get corn. It might be modified corn, but it's corn of some sort. Why? Because you reap what you sow. He said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." You say, "I'm going to go to my garden. I want corn to grow, but I want to plant bean seeds." It's not going to happen. Why? God is not mocked. Matthew chapter number 13, we'll turn there together. Keep your finger in Galatians, we'll be right back there in a moment. But in Matthew chapter number 13, he gives us a parable. He says in verse number 3, he spake many things unto them in parables. And then he said this, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Of course, he paints the picture here of a sower. that would go and he would sow seed and he would broadcast the seed. He would spread it out and some would fall on good ground. Some would fall on thorny ground. Some would fall amongst the stones. And some, you know, there were different scenarios. And of course, when it fell on the good ground, it brought forth good fruit. Verse number 19, he explains the parable. Still Matthew 13, verse 19. He says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the way. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet it hath no root in him, but himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word and careth of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. You notice there? What he said the seed was? He said the seed's the word. He said you hear the word, things happen. Now we also learned there that the devil actively opposes the word, doesn't he? You ever notice how there's a million excuses not to be at church? I mean, just naturally occurring. Why? What is that? The devil knows, Satan knows that where the seed of the word of God is planted, fruit starts to spring up. He's not interested in making it easy for people to hear the truth of the Word of God. You know, if you try to develop a daily Bible reading habit in your life, I mean, you'll go to work, you'll eat lunch, you'll eat breakfast, you'll eat supper, you'll run errands, you'll do all that. You know the one part of your day that will always be the most hindered is actually sitting down and reading the Bible. Why? Because even the devil understands this unbreakable principle. That if the seed of the Word of God is sown unhindered and it's on the right ground, you know what? It's going to produce the right things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. So there is an unbreakable principle. And then verse number 8, we see a strong warning. Back in Galatians chapter number 6. He says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So that's a pretty strong, I don't know about you, sometimes I would like things to be a little more down the middle, wouldn't you? Is there a third option? Just in case I mess up, I mean, this is the way, I mean, is there not, of course, the grace of God is, it does a lot of things for us, but you know, you would like it in our flesh to see something else there, but God doesn't give us something else. He said, listen, you sow to the flesh. Notice what he said, you reap destruction. Sow to the Spirit. He said, you reap life everlasting. God presented a similar challenge to the nation of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 11, and verse number 29. He stood them there and he told them, about two mountains. He said in 11:29, I'll read it. He said, "And it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal." Later on in the book of Deuteronomy, he would bring them to Gerizim and Ebal, and he would stand them between them, and he would say, "All right, this is the mountain of blessing. You do what I tell you to do, you're blessed. Here is the mountain of cursing. If you don't do what I tell you to do, you're cursed." What does he tell them in a roundabout way? He's saying you reap what you sow. You obey me. You follow my word. You follow this. You sow the word. You know what happens? You reap life everlasting. You reap blessing. You don't, you reap destruction. Young person, be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. There is a, I don't know if people say this as much anymore, but when I was growing up, they would. But the mindset is still there. We talk about teenagers. They will say, "Oh, you just need to let them go out and sow their wild oats." No, you know what they need to do is go out and burn the wild oats. Because you know why? If they sow wild oats, you know what they're going to reap? the product of wild oats. And unfortunately, there's been many a life, many a 50, 60, 70-year-old who has lived with a life of burden and a life of distress because when they were 16, 17, 18 years old, they went out and sowed those wild oats, and be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever he soweth, that shall he also reap. I mentioned this, we're started, we're doing a summer class on child training. And we talked about the issue of training this morning, the fact that we kind of didn't hide from it, that it's hard. It's work. But you know what you're trying to do? What we're trying to do, we're trying to sow seed that will take root and bring forth fruit. Trying to sow something that will last for a lifetime, that will produce fruit to generations beyond. And at every level, though, of life, we've got to remember this principle. There's no such thing as being able to just coast and be able to take the foot off the gas, if you will, and just kind of roll along. We will reap what we sow. There's unbreakable, strong warning. Can't be changed. He said, when we obey God, the principle we learned from the children of Israel, when we obey God, when we do what God tells us to do, when we follow His word, we reap a harvest. But when we disobey God, we'll reap a harvest as well. When we live according to the Spirit, we'll reap a harvest. When we live according to the flesh, you know what we'll do? We'll reap a harvest. Some may fall, seed may fall on unproductive soil, but some seed will spring up. The challenge, the warning is, be careful what you sow. The good side of that is, if we sow to the Spirit, we shall, of the Spirit, reap life. We shall, you say, I don't see it happening. Well, that brings us to the third point. That brings us to the third verse, which is an encouraging promise. Look at what he says. He says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, I'll be honest with you. I kind of made fun of myself a little bit about my gardening skills. And you know what? And really, I know the problem. You want me to reveal to you, unveil Joel Boyle's gardening problems right here, is this: patience. You know, you got to prepare the soil. You got to take care of it. You got to put it in the ground. You've got to wait. And, you know, so really, at the end of the day, I probably am not such a bad gardener. It's more, I need to work on my patience when it comes to gardening. Because he brings out that principle as well. Never do we have anything that we stick in the ground in a physical sense that we walk out there the next day and hope, boom, that it pops out of the ground. I mean, that would solve theoretically so many problems in the world, you know, hunger, and we could ship this stuff all around the world just spitting it out. By the way, the Bible tells us in heaven about a tree that bears fruit in that way. That'll be great to see. That'll be wonderful to see. But here on this earth, the principle that God has put is that you reap if you faint not. You prepare the soil, you plant the seed, you put it in the ground, you take care of it, and a wonderful thing happens. It produces more, that's why people do it. It produces more than what you put in the ground. But it takes patience. We shall reap, he says, if you faint not. Young people, it's hard to see that. It's hard to understand. Being a Christian young person is hard in 2017. Your friends are doing this, they're doing that, they're going out, they're running around here, they're running around doing that, but you've been taught, you know, that's not right. I need to follow God's word, I need to obey God's truth, and you see that life being lived, and it can tug at you, and it can pull at you, and the devil can whisper in your ear, what's the use? Look, you're never going to enjoy things like they enjoy it. You're never going to have fun like they enjoy it. Just be patient. You'll reap if you faint not. You'll be the one eventually that they're looking up to going, I wish I had what they had. I wish I had the stability that they had. I wish I had the family that they had. I wish I had the foundation that they had. But it will take time. You'll have to be patient. You'll reap if you faint not. just because of dovetails into the class. Sorry if you weren't in there. I apologize. But, you know, to parents, it doesn't happen overnight, does it? But we've got to believe God's word. You know, there's all sorts of books you can read. So Pastor Townsley's written a great one, but there's all sorts of other, you know, psychological things that we can read and all sorts of things. What do we need? We need something that will guide us in the principles of the book. That's what we need. We need to put this in. We need to sow that and say, it doesn't seem like it's working. Don't faint. You know, we're having some times of outreach this summer to talk about vacation Bible school. You say, well, go out, hand out a flyer. I'm a little shy. I'll get up the courage. I'll go do that. Go through a neighborhood, hand out flyers all over the neighborhood. You go home and think, well, that wasn't fun. The whole neighborhood didn't get saved. No, that's not what happens. You know what I found, and Dr. Brown, Pastor Brown, he got way more experience on this than me. He can correct me later. But it's very rare that anybody ever gets saved strictly because of the influence of just one person. Now, it happens, you know, maybe a coworker, they've never met anybody else as a Christian, they meet you, that could happen. But you know what's stunning to me? We go through those bus areas many times and knock on doors. It was amazing to me how many people you saw take a step of faith, talk about adults, to ask the Lord to save them, and then they would go, you know what, my grandmother used to talk to me about this all the time. And you see, the problem is we get an idea of what the harvest should look like. What we really should do is claim God's promise that we will reap if we faint not. God knows every bit of fruit that comes from every bit of seed that His children sow on this earth. You know, my dad went to heaven. Almost as soon as he went to heaven, there were some young men in his church that answered the call to preach. He never saw that. I mean, he saw it in other times, but in their lives, he never saw that. But you know what? That was fruit that came from seed that he had sown while he was here on this earth. And you know what? You reap when you don't faint. God brings that to our account. We need to understand that it won't happen instantly, but it will happen as we continue to sow. So we sow small. So what do? We sow small things to reap big things. And what good does it do? You know, I'm helping out in that Sunday school class. It can't be that big of a deal. You sow small to reap big. What good does it do to help out in a vacation Bible school class and hand a kid lemonade? You sow small to reap big. What good does it do to drive a bus? We sow small to reap big. And then we sow more to reap more. You know what kind of happens when you do start seeing God produce? I've noticed this about people who are good gardeners. I grew up around a lot of them in North Carolina. It was hilarious. These people, there would be a retired couple, and they would plant enough food to feed the entire neighborhood, and every year at the end of the year they would go, we just got so much stuff. Would y'all take some, please, from us? Of course, yeah, you know. And it was, they acted like they were shocked by that fact. But you know what happened? They started out smaller, and they kind of like it. And then suddenly it produces fruit. If I plant one row, that's great. If I do two rows and do it the same way I did last year, man, look at all the stuff that it produces. And it kind of, as someone sows and they have patience and they see the harvest, it kind of lights a fire to keep doing it more. I'm encouraged and amazed at the same time every time I hear Pastor Townsley say from the pulpit, you know what? If God would let me sometimes, I would love to just go to a place that doesn't have any other church and start over and do it all again. Like, man, what a testimony. Why? It's because he's seen that God is not mocked. What you sow, you reap. So we sow small things to reap big things. We sow more to reap more. But then we cannot forget we have to sow the right things to reap the right things. You know, it is work. It is effort. We've got to get in the book. We've got to make sure we're doing the right things. We've got to make sure we're going the right way. We've got to make sure that when we're going down the wrong path, God can convict us and we'll listen to Him and we'll repent and we'll say, nope, I'm not going to do that any longer, and we'll backtrack and go down the right path if we have to. Why? Because God is not mocked whatsoever. If a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Challenge here is right from the Scriptures. Really just preached three verses this morning. It's this: you reap what you sow. Young person, teenager, you're going to reap what you sow. Young adult, you're going to reap what you sow. Grandparent, you're going to reap what you sow. It will not, it's a principle that will not change. Make sure you're sowing the right things. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day.